It's the 120 podcast, Mikey Fernelli alongside Ben Hootie. And we only record once a week, but this has been a tale of two different stories for the Cubs this week. It wasn't exactly all jubilation after that White Sox series, but we'll start there, Ben. Two huge wins, two comeback wins, a walk-off for the pride of Palatine, Mike Tauchman. And then when I was there in attendance on Tuesday night, a week ago tomorrow, they had a great comeback win against the 5-0 after the rain delay, the hashtag rain delay Cubs. So we'll start with this White Sox series first, Ben Hootie, before we get into a disappointing weekend. First iteration of the Crosstown Cup this season. How are we feeling about that series?
Good. It's been, positive enough. I think when we signed off last week, you asked me what are we looking for this week? You got to take care of one of the worst teams in Major League history if you're going to really think that you're good enough to contend the season. And they did
Yeah.
that. I was definitely freaking out a little bit because they did go down both games in really, really just embarrassing fashion. But it felt good, even though it's the White Sox, it still felt good to see the team putting together competitive at bats and, really building off the momentum that they were kind of giving to themselves and getting back in both games and managing to win them both. Just even like the game that you went to. They come roaring back right away with
Yeah.
Patrick Wisdom and Morel hitting home runs and Wrigley Field's just jumping. It's electric. And then what happens? I think it was the following inning, right? Luis Robert hit a home run right away and they're just back down on themselves, which has been a trend, which I want to talk to when we get to the Red Series as well. But it felt good to see that they put together nice at bats the rest of the game. Ian Happ with that awesome double. And then, the next night as well, dig yourselves in a 5-1 hole, I think it was, and just competitive at bats all around that really kind of put them in a good situation and really nice pitching out of the bullpen too. So I would say there was a lot of positives to take out of that White Sox series. And it stinks because it kind of went away going this weekend, but I still think two wins are much better than none at all. And if they did lose those two White Sox games, we'd be looking at 1-5 in the past week instead of 3-3, which is a lot
Yeah,
better.
for sure, especially in a division so close, which we'll get on later in the episode. Yeah, it was two identical games, Ben. It felt like the White Sox get the early lead 5-0 and then 5-1. Game two didn't have the rain delay, but then the Cubs came out roaring there again in that sixth inning, and then continuing in the seventh, take the lead, and then a solo shot ties it up off Hayden Wesneski both days in the top of the eighth. Lubob and then Paul DeJong, and then in the bottom of the eighth. On day one was when the Cubs took over, and then they won in 8.5. And then on Wednesday, it took until that walk-off from Mike Tauchman, the summer of Mike Tauchman, two arms up as he rounds third base. That was awesome. That was all the energy they needed as they headed into a Red Series looking to avenge a 1-2 series loss previously, just the series before that White Sox. So they just had those two White Sox tune-up games between playing the Reds twice, and this time in Great American Ballpark. It did not go well till at least Sunday.
Yeah, it's pretty remarkable how many close games this team loses. Thursday just didn't go their way, obviously, but they were in it for a little bit and just kind of imploded in the later innings. But then you look at Friday and Saturday, and it's like a carbon copy of each other. These fake rallies that we see with this team all the time.
Yeah.
Sunday, it felt like they had it in the bag. What was it, second and third with one out only? So yeah, it stinks to lose to your division rival. It really does. Especially a team like the Reds, who was you kind of were hoping to halt the brakes on them because they're starting to catch heat as well. And it's just tough. It's just hard to watch. Like, I think we said it back. You said it to me. It's hard to watch sometimes when this team is just kind of losing the games the same way that they are every single night. Right? It just feels like that at this point.
I mean, we look at that Sunday game especially, where so Shota Imanaga had his first start this week in that Tuesday White Sox game that I was at, and he actually allowed five runs, but only one of them was earned off a error by Christopher Morel, who answered with the bat the next inning. But that's a different story. But Shota came back with a nice little tune-up start, had 5 hits over 6 2/3, only 2 earned runs and 7 strikeouts. So not as flawless as he once was, but Shota Inaga, who had 2 questionable starts in a row, really came back swinging on Sunday, but followed by MLJ and then Hector Neris coming in relief. And that was been a theme all week, Ben. Yes, the Cubs are blowing, excuse me, the Cubs are losing these games, but it's more about not being able to come back to an early deficit at this point. The starting has been the less strong moment now. I mean, there's a couple strong bullpen pitchers now on this Cubs roster that have been pretty solid, even through a terrible stretch, that have kept things held, and the Cubs offense has been the ones not producing. We've seen this a little bit with Heart Attack Hector and some of these guys coming in.
Yeah, I'm just gonna go over. This is what I want. I mentioned this earlier. I'm looking at the box scores right now from all these games in Cincinnati this weekend. We'll start on Thursday, right? Top of the third inning, Cubs get up to a 2-run lead, give up 3 the next inning. They're trailing 3-2. Sixth inning, Cubs score 2, take a, what would that be? A 4-3 lead. Next, next bottom half of that inning. They give up 2 to Cincinnati. Cincinnati ends up going on to win that game. Look at Friday. Friday's a little different, but Saturday was definitely the one where it was like, what the heck? Cubs go up to an early 1-0 lead, give up a run
Immediately evened it.
immediately. And it's just the same thing. It feels like the same thing. And it happened in the White Sox game as well, like I mentioned with the Robert thing. It's just frustrating that they can't get a lead and hold it at this point, it feels like. And it's not really on the starting pitching because they're not giving up big numbers, and it's not necessarily on the bullpen either. It's just frustrating that they can't do more damage because in all those situations, I know that they could score more, but they really only end up scoring 1. They can't continue to add on. That's why it felt so nice in that first inning yesterday that they got on top of Montas right away. So
Well,
I just wish they could hold on to leads.
you talk about Saturday. Ben Brown had those 4 innings with 3 runs, and then Wicks came back off the IL and came in relief for 3 1/3, and he only had a run, and then MLJ was locked down. So, but it was no use at that point because after they had the 1 run in the first inning, they didn't score again until the sixth, and by then they were trailing by 4 runs. So it's just tough. And then they get a random 8th inning run and they lose 3-4. It incredibly frustrating 1-run game when you're in a deficit of 4-1 and you get like these little what I used to call the big blue train moments where you can move base to base, and then it just dies after one. What's the famous play we said last week that we were like, really, this is what we're gonna do with bases loaded? Yan Gomes walks in a run off, is it like when the like it's just
Bases
it's
loaded, Ian
yeah
Happ walks in a run.
yeah and it was
Zero
it was
outs.
it's just ridiculous. It's just, this is where you need to find ways to score runs, and it feels like a broken record saying it, but there's so many chances to do this. And when you go 5 straight innings against the Reds without scoring a run, and you end up losing by 1 run because your runs come later, that's how do you chalk that up?
They mentioned this in the broadcast Friday, or excuse me, yesterday, I think. No. It would have been Saturday because the game was so close. The Cubs have played in 25 one-run games. And it might, and I think they're like 10-15 in those games.
They're
Just
32 and
close out
34 on the
they're,
season.
these teams, they're one little play away from that number just being flipped. You know what I'm saying? Just in all of those games, one single play can change an entire game. We saw it in the White Sox series. It was just managing to build back momentum, and one play just changes the entire game, manages to get wins on your side. Both of those White Sox games were decided by 1 run. And then you go back to the Cincinnati games, and 2 of the 3 over the weekend, or 2 of the 4 over the weekend, are decided by 1 run. One play, one, nice base running, one hit into the outfield. It changes the entire perception of that game, and that continues to go on helping positively affect your season as well.
Let's talk just briefly about what's ahead before we get into the real what's ahead, which would be some trade rumors. But for just this week, as this week gets started, the Cubs have had some recent success, albeit over the course of a month, with AL teams. Obviously, they swept the Astros, and that's when things kind of went to shit after that. And then they swept the White Sox in only a 2-game set. They get two, excuse me, they get 3 against the Rays in Tampa Bay starting tomorrow, Tuesday. So by the time this airs today, excuse me, all those games at 5:50 Central. because they're out in Eastern time. The Rays in a very similar spot at 31 and 35, a bit of an underwhelming season for what's been a somewhat talented roster for the recent years. This could be a chance to really get back on the right track before you get the Cardinals again, this time at home.
Dude, when was the last time we played in Tampa Bay? I feel like I don't remember the Cubs playing in Tampa Bay in my lifetime.
I'm going to Google it while we talk about this, but this is a great, like, everybody plays everybody. This is kind of fun moment. Like, it sucks for not being able to play the Central as much anymore, but like, it's going to be fun to go down to the Trop for a bit. There'll be a lot
Like,
of Cubs fans there.
yeah, I remember because last year I went to a game at Wrigley Field where Tampa Bay played the Cubs.
Yeah.
So they've played the Rays a good amount here the last couple of years, but it's all been at Wrigley, I'm pretty sure. I want to know when the last time they played in Tampa was.
I am working on it. It doesn't come up right away. But my grandpa lives down there and he's a Cubs fan. And he, I'm sure, will, if he's not already, he has tickets, we'll try and go to one of the games. And I'm sure if they're not sold out, because there's a lot of Chicago snowbird slash,
Yeah.
what's the right term? Just people that have moved down there. There's a better term for it, but who live in the Tampa Bay area and the Bradenton area. And I'm sure they will enjoy that series. He's always said when the Sox are down there once a year, they get huge crowds. So,
Yeah.
yeah, that's a fun one. You don't see that every day. And like, speaking of which, with this week, with this Anthony Rizzo story, with this Rizzo remembers the exact date or knows the exact date that he'll get to go back to Wrigley Field. The Yankees play the Cubs at Wrigley. That feels weird. Like, that has been a long time as well. So
Yeah.
there's a couple fun ones.
I want to go back. Well, I think you're still, I don't know if you're still looking for it,
I'm
but
trying.
okay. One thing I do want to mention is they're in a similar boat as the Cubs. And I know we're going to talk about this later in the episode, but it feels like a lot of teams are in a similar spot as the Cubs right now. The
Yeah,
Cubs, it's different because it was just such a quick collapse where they were like one of the better teams in Major League Baseball to start the year. So that's why it feels worse because it's just like it happened all so fast. Whereas a lot of these teams have been floating this line that the Cubs have been floating for like the last 2 weeks, especially teams that like should be in the playoffs, especially, you know, in the National League, it's nuts. And I know we're going to talk about it later, but especially in the AL, you know, you got Tampa Bay, who was in the playoffs last year. They're floating around 500. The Astros and Rangers have struggled mightily this year. So those are just, and the Blue Jays as well. So those are just a couple of the teams that have just, it feels similar to the Cubs, is where it's just like they can't get over that 500 mark right now. And yeah, Tampa Bay, as you mentioned, it's kind of similar to the Cubs, where it's like, you know, this could be a series that finally breaks our season. Well, I guarantee you Rays fans are saying the same way, or that could break us
Yeah.
through to help make our season positive. I guarantee you Rays fans are saying the same thing about this Cubs series.
Got it. I finally got it on StatMuse. So the first time they ever played was in 03, obviously, because the Rays are a relatively new expansion team. And that was, where does it say where it was? Is it really not going to tell me what? I was just about to give StatMuse a heads up and say congrats on helping us figure this out, but it doesn't tell me. Got to say somewhere on here who was the home team. This says it's all their all-time meetings, 03 to 2023. Because they played in 2023, 2022, and then before that, the most recent time was 2017. I'm going to keep working on it.
Okay.
But Ben, to your point, yeah, this could be a really essential series for the Cubs. They are 8-11 against the Rays all time. I can tell you that. They have a losing record against the Tampa Bay Rays all time. I've always liked the Rays, by the way. I used to always wear a light blue Rays hat to class sophomore year all the time.
Yeah.
Teacher knew me as the Rays fan. I remember him asking me if I was a Rays fan. Nope, just had the
No.
hat.
Yeah.
But yeah, and then it starts a great home series against the Cardinals, which could be huge. And this will be our chance. We'll do this backwards. We talked about doing the standings at the end, but before we talk trade rumors, you kind of keyed it into it there, Ben. So I want to talk about it. This National League, especially with only, what is it? Four as of this week, it was four teams above 500. I'm trying to see if that's still the case.
It's
The
the
Phillies,
Dodgers, Phillies,
Braves.
Braves, and Brewers. I think that's it.
It is it still. And so that leaves the Cubs, Reds, Padres, Giants, who we'll see after the Cardinals, even the Nationals, and
Pirates.
yeah, the Pirates. The Mets have fallen off, especially in the last couple weeks. But that leaves all those teams we just listed off just below 500. The Cubs actually on the upper echelon of that at 32 and 34. The Cubs in a wild card spot tied for with the Reds at 32 and 34. The Cubs losing on Saturday and falling to the bottom of the NL Central and then winning on Sunday and moving to the silver medal spot in the NL Central. this versatility in the flags and the pennants is too much for the scoreboard operators to keep up with. It is crazy. And on top of all that, the team that traded the Cy Young 10 throw across the room is up 7 games on the rest of this stupid division.
They just managed to win games. We talked about it last week.
I
Respect to
know.
them. They're good. I can't believe how close the Central is. It's so funny because we, as you said on Saturday, we dropped down to last place. And then it was like, oh, nope. Now you look at that and it's like, oh, nice. We're in second. But wait, we're 7 games behind and 2 games under 500 right now. The National League is a shit show. That's why I think it's so important right now to take advantage of that. You know, start tagging on wins. You know, start a new momentum train after yesterday's win, which was, I think, a really good win all around. Just continue to build on this. Go into Tampa Bay, where I don't think we've been in years, while Mikey continues to tap his keys looking for it. Go to Tampa
I
Bay,
don't got an answer.
get on a win streak. Go. I just need to see it because it's such an easy. Yes, you want to win the Central. That was the goal going into this year, winning the goddamn Central. But at this point, it's really making the playoffs. Go on a win streak, get closer to the Brewers, take advantage of this National League that has just been piss poor.
All right, real quick before we wrap up, let's talk about two big things, Ben. First, the Nico Hoerner injury. Fractured hand, as it's currently being reported. He did come in and pinch run the other day, yet to be designated for any kind of IL stint. I'll start. I don't know what this means for Nico Hoerner. It could be huge for the Cubs in a negative way if he has to go on the 60-day IL or anything like that. My guess is they're waiting to get to the Cincinnati series, seeing how they could use him with the pinch running opportunity. I don't know what this means if it doesn't go well for him. Nick Madrigal, who is a every tool infielder, broke his hand as well in his first game down in AAA. So that could be bad.
Well, something to worth note, Luis Vasquez posted a picture of him on the beach of St. Petersburg. I don't know why else he would be there. He's probably with the Cubs. So yeah, I would assume Luis Vasquez is getting called up. Don't know if that means Nico IL or Wisdom Bodie back down to AAA. I would hope it's one of those because I'd hope Nico's healthy, but if he
Right.
really is hurt, we need more people on this roster. Hopefully it's nothing that will, kill a season, but just praying for the best for him and hoping he could be out there because he is one of the Cubs' best players defensively and offensively.
All right, we got to the standing, so we have one more talking point as I threw my pen, so I use my Cubs scorecard pencil. Trade rumors is the big talk right now, and who else better to talk about it? We welcome in our guest and also the co-host of this podcast, Ben Hootie, who is a writer now for Sports Mockery and the Chicago Cubs. So if you want to tell us a little bit about that as another side gig, and then also what you've been talking about with this Vladdy Guerrero whispers.
Yeah, I'm happy to officially be part of the Sports Mockery team. Doesn't mean this is going anywhere. It's just, more Cubs experience. I'll be writing for them for the next going forward. And yeah, my first article was about these Vlad Guerrero whispers that came up yesterday morning. And while it doesn't really seem like anything, just keep an eye on it. It basically seems like it's private discussions that the Cubs have had, which isn't very private anymore. We know they want power in this lineup. Vlad's having one of the best seasons of his career, so he would make sense in the middle of this lineup. It's just a matter of if the Blue Jays are willing to, trade one of their young pieces that they were planning on building a core around in Vlad Guerrero. And yeah, I mean, we're just gonna have to see what ends up happening. Because they're kind of in a similar spot to the Cubs right now. But I'm assuming if the Cubs want to make a big move, they're going to talk to the Blue Jays. It seems like through the last couple of months, through all these trade rumors, it feels like they're all about the Blue Jays, because whether it's Bo Bichette, Vladdy Guerrero, or the catcher Danny Jansen, because I know catching is another big potential trading talk right now as well.
Yeah, I saw the whole list that the Cubs have multiple different thoughts already, and the kind of the bottom line of all these Cubs trade rumors early on is that the teams that they're interested in trading with aren't interested in trading yet. As you mentioned in your article, they're still over a month out from this trade deadline. So, including the Blue Jays, who, yes, you would think are going to have a fire sale, but also at the time of this tweet I saw this week, I don't know what ended up happening for the rest of the weekend, we're positive in their last 10 games. So
Yeah.
they think there's still a chance in what has been still, yeah, kind of a tough AL as well to be in a wild card position. So they don't necessarily want to sell off who could be a generational talent in Vladdy Guerrero Jr. or a Bo Bichette or anything like that. It's tough because, yeah, you know that if the Cubs don't deal with it now, they might not make it to the point to justify trade deadlines buyers, but they need to do something now to be able to make it to that point. And all your targets are not shaping up. However, the Mets have started free falling, and I'm starting to see things about Polar Pete again.
Yeah, that could be interesting to keep an eye on. I saw something this morning. I think it was Heyman said it makes more sense to be Pete over Vlad, which would make sense because Pete's on the last year of his contract compared to Vlad. He's 1.5 years of control. So, yeah, I think that's definitely something to keep an eye on because the Cubs seem very interested this offseason. Just the Mets weren't willing to part with him because they wanted to go for one last kind of hurrah and see if they could, do something this year, but it just hasn't gone their way. So, that's definitely something to keep your eye on as well. I think they just want a big bat in this middle of the lineup that can play first and DH because, we seen the other day they're testing Michael Busch out at second base now. So, they're willing to move pieces and that first base spot and DH kind of opens up now as well.
Got the answer, Ben, here at the end of the episode.
Let's go.
September 20th and 19th, 2017, the defending champion Chicago Cubs beat the Rays 2-1 on the 19th, and then they lost 8-1 to the Rays on the 20th.
Interesting. I have no remembrance of that
Me
whatsoever.
neither. Me neither. I would have been, so I was obviously old enough. I'm
We
22
both
now.
were.
So, yeah, so I like we both obviously were. I was 15, so yeah, that's I was watching the games at the time. I don't remember that either. That's odd. I thought it would have been further back. So it was 2017. Shoot, I closed out my tab. I was gonna see what the one before that was. I'll tweet about it. And
Yeah.
we're hurrying up here as we finish up the episode. Ben, pleasure to do this one with you again. Congrats on a new position over there as well. We'll keep up the 120 as well. Thanks for listening.
Go Cubs.